It is 25 and a half past the hour on a Transcendent Tuesday. Now, Transcendent Tuesdays are the days when we rise above it all the small stuff, because it's all small stuff. But the discussion we're about to enter into with Dr. Donald Clark may make it difficult to transcend. This is aggravating stuff. Don Clark is a biochemist with years of experience in pharmaceuticals. He's a vintner. He's a member of the board at Creation Moments. And he joins us now from Garden Valley, Texas. Don, to start, why don't we just dive right in here? There's an FDA, there's an NIH, National Institute of Health, and there's the CDC, and they're all involved in this COVID thing one way or the other. Who's the authority, and who do we believe?
Well, maybe we take the second question first.
Yeah. Who, if anybody, maybe I'll rephrase
that. I don't
that.
Believe any of them mm-hmm. at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're looking at an article here.
You know, it used here. To be. Well, and, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
go
I did just what there's an article. And in fact, there's a link in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com if anybody would like to follow along. And it's a count of a meeting that was held on the 18th of September, last Friday. At the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. It was their Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. They need a good copywriter to rename those people. But there are 18 members of it, and they made a YouTube video of the meeting that's 8 hours long. So, no, I have not gone through 8 hours of video here. But the article breaks down some of the moments from that meeting. Each of the 18 members had a three-minute presentation. Here are some of the quotes, and this has to do directly with the need for a booster shot for COVID. Now, after the meeting, they voted 16-2 against a third shot or against the booster for the general public. They did approve it, I think, for 65 and up is all. So obviously,
yes, that's correct.
Obviously, people our age are the test group for this thing. That's what it looks like
yes.
to me.
And it's interesting because they so that was the FDA decision based on this committee.
Does that mean we're expendable?
Yeah, we're expendable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have served our lives, and now it's time to move on. Well, you know, in the positive side, hey, you know, we meet Jesus sooner. So.
Well, yeah. Well, here's some of the comments from that. I want to read some of these to you.
Go ahead.
These are comments from the members of that committee during the course of the meeting. Injections are killing two people for every one person saved over a 6-month period. This one struck me. Vaccine hesitant are not as dumb as the media would have us believe. They are more familiar with vaccine studies and coronavirus risks for their age groups than the vaccinated. Over 1,000% increase in adverse events for all vaccines for 2021, and we're not even finished with 2021 yet. Clear failure of these products. There are many more quotes here. 71 times more people suffer from heart attacks from this product than any other vaccine. There was some serious discussion there, Don.
Oh, there was some serious discussion, and I'm glad these folks actually were being honest. It's too bad that the FDA and the CDC and the NIH is not being honest. But clearly, if you start to investigate the data, and the only data, the clear data that we have in the United States is this FARS database, vaccine adverse event reporting system, which one of the gals who reported in this committee basically did a statistical analysis of the database and showed that, gee, you know, adverse events have spiked since we've used these, started using these vaccines. And so that should alarm everyone.
That would indicate there's a connection between the number of people getting vaccines and the adverse events, right? I mean, that's the clear conclusion you have to draw.
Yes, exactly. So we're well over, you know, 500,000, and in the most recent data says over 700,000 adverse events coming out of this database. Her analysis also showed that this reporting system, and it's typically a passive reporting system, and in the past, so she was able to estimate underreporting factor, or the URF as she called it, and the underestimating factor is 31, which means you have one report for every 31 adverse events out there. So the you know, if you take that, the 500 to 1,000, multiply that by 31, you're talking about millions, you know, in the million adverse events from these, you know, these vaccines. And as she reported out, and she, and there's a nice graph that she presented at the meeting, you know, you clearly see that the adverse events from previous vaccines have been, I mean, relatively low. Yeah, they're probably in the 40 to 50,000. We're 10 times that, if not even greater now. And as she pointed out, we're not even at the end of the road yet for this year. So something clearly is going on with these vaccines that the media is not picking up. The general medical community is not picking up, and you know, we have a full right to be concerned about these vaccines. The other aspect of this particular data is that the number of deaths, for example, the number of deaths reported in the vaccine database is, you know, something like 7,000 to 8,000. But again, multiplying that by 31, you've got a tremendous number of deaths.
250,000, yeah. Quarter million.
Being, you know, reported that you're not, I mean, not being reported, but estimated to be, you know, over 250,000 deaths in the population, in our population alone, which, you know, should cause everyone pause, especially in the light of previous vaccines. They've stopped using them if they've gotten into the 30 to 50 deaths, 30 to 50 deaths reported. They stopped the vaccine. So we're well past that. And it's as if the FDA is kind of ignoring this data and saying, okay, we're, you know, this is what we got, and so we're just going to, you know, run with these particular vaccines, which, again, you know, are, is a new mechanism. That is, the mRNA vaccines have never been used in humans, even though they've been in development for the past 30 years. And the reason why they haven't been in humans before is because the animal data, and the animal data, you know, for these vaccines or anything, you know, like them using this mechanism, have all died. So all the animals treated with these vaccines have all died to subsequent challenges by whatever organism they're trying to, you know, vaccine they're trying to develop against any particular organism. When the animals were challenged with the organism, they all died. And they died from a, you know, inflammation storm, or the cytokine storm. Yeah,
their own immune systems killed them.
Yeah, their own immune systems overpowered them and wiped them out. And we're seeing that as an adverse event in and is the leading cause of death in these patients as well that have received the vaccine. So, you know, we've got an issue there, and this one statement by this one fellow about the, you know, the vaccines appear to be killing two people for every one person saved. Well, I can understand where they got the, you know, the number of deaths due to the vaccine, because that's in the database. You can look at that. The other question, which they don't address because it's only a 3-minute presentation by each of these folks, is how did they calculate the one person saved? Mm-hmm. Where did that number come from?
And that's a good question.
You know, it's, and he doesn't explain it, but my only guess is that, excuse me, we know how many people were dying from the coronavirus before the vaccines were being introduced, and, you know, we've got that number down to how many die, you know, per day or per week or per, on an average. And you take that number, and then you see, okay, how many people survived after the vaccines. And initially, the vaccines did provide some protection. And I'll get into this later, but it did provide some protection. So therefore, there must have been some benefit. And then, of course, as these variant viruses are coming out, the vaccines are not providing the protection and people are starting to die again. So that's the only way that I can see that they calculated that number of 2 to 1. And he actually has a chart, which is in the Mercola article, that shows that depending on what data you're looking at, it could be as high as 6 to 1. That is 6 deaths in the COVID vaccinated group compared to saving 1 life. So that doesn't bode well, obviously, for the vaccine. And you know, this type of data needs to be, these folks need to write up reports, and they need to be peer reviewed. And that, you know, if everybody was honest, it would become available to the public, and the public can make their own decision as to whether or not they want to be vaccinated or not. But all of this is being you know, swept under the rug, especially by the mainstream media, and I would have to say the medical community. And we're not being well served by our government and our medical community in allowing these vaccines to continue to be used. Because if this fellow's statement is right, and if he's even close to being right, that we're killing 2 people for every 1 person saved, there is absolutely no benefit whatsoever to the vaccine. As a matter of fact, it's detrimental.
Now, this committee was called to look at the booster shot specifically. Now, just to make to clarify, this is the same stuff you would have gotten with the first shot, right? It's not a different vaccine. It's the same thing you're getting a third dose of, correct?
That's correct. That's my understanding, yes. Right. They haven't changed the mRNA sequence in these vaccines. They're just saying, hey, you just need a little booster, and that will help protect you for maybe 4 to 6 months again, we're hoping. But we don't know. But you know, we'll give you another booster. Now, I should say, in this same review panel, one of the fellows was Levy from Israel, and he's basically saying that, look, it doesn't matter how many boosters you give, these vaccines are not working, because Israel has given, you know, not only the third booster, I mean, the third injection, but the fourth injection, and they may even be going on to the fifth injection, and they're just not protecting the population. So, you know, we have, I don't know why they bring these people on the panel if they're not going to take their advice, you know, and look at the data.
Good point. But, well, it looks like politics rules. David, did you have a thought?
Well, Rachel Walensky was on Face the Nation on Sunday, and you know, she and Maggie Brennan were talking about this very subject.
CDC head, yes.
Yeah, and Rachel Walensky is the head of the CDC, and they were talking about this very question, that and Maggie brought it up. She says there's a panel that voted against using the third booster shot for everybody and his cousin. That you guys wanted to make sure everybody got the third dose. And so they had a lot of very specific advice, very specific statements about why they voted against it. And then Walensky said, well, yeah, but they took another vote later on and voted in favor of it. Well, that's not really exactly true. They didn't vote in favor of it. They voted not to stand in the way of the vaccines for older people, for 65 and older. And at the end of the long involved conversation, and they went on back and forth, Walensky said, I have just one more thing to say, and I'd like to add it in here. And she looked at the camera and said, everybody, go out there and get your shot. Get vaccinated right away. Just go out and do it. It's safe. It's effective. It's fine. Get your shot. And that was it. I mean, Maggie had no retort to that. No rebuttal. I mean, it's like they're trying to promote this thing. It's like the government and the bureaucrats are cheerleaders leading the charge, and saying, well, you know, we'll find out afterwards if you get to live or not. But at least now we'll be able to just kill off a lot of old people. I don't get it. I mean, nobody is asking the tough questions.
Well, she was trying. It sounded like the the reporter was trying, interviewer was trying to she was asking the right questions, but this gal was not was totally ignoring her because she had another agenda. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, isn't she Fauci's wife? Is she the gal that's Fauci's wife?
No, that's at the NIH. His wife works with Fauci at the National Institute of Health. This was the CDC director.
She's not. And Fauci is in his 80s, and Walensky is, I think, 40-something.
Oh, okay.
So
all right. Yeah,
it's not the same one.
It's baffling as to, you know, why these folks are pushing this so hard. unless there's another agenda, because the data is clearly showing that these vaccines should have been pulled months ago, based on just the number of deaths alone that have been reported, and they're completely ignoring the data. They're just the FDA, the NIH, and the CDC are completely ignoring the data, and then are just continuing with this. At the expense, I might add, of some very effective treatments, because obviously they're still not promoting hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or other things that are helping to save people's lives and have been shown not only in this country but in other countries around the world to be not only effective but quite effective in halting the disease and in protecting lives. For example, there was a recent report out of India, two states in India, there were three states that were having a flare-up of the virus, and two of the states said, well, we're going to distribute ivermectin to all of our population. And, we'll see whether or not it's effective. In the third state says, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to deal with it on a case-by-case basis. And so the two states that passed out the ivermectin, for example, the disease was squashed, and they're no longer having a problem. And the other state that wasn't passing out the ivermectin is still having a major problem with the vaccine. So, I mean, yes, is it a placebo-controlled study? No. But do you need placebo-controlled studies in every case to show for a very safe drug that's been given to millions and Nobel Prize has been won over, do you need a placebo-controlled study in order to show the effectiveness of the drug? Well, the FDA has completely eliminated their standard, their previous standard, at least when I was working with the FDA on a drug that we were developing. They have clearly thrown out the window any type of standards for these vaccines. So why are they being so so sticklers about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, for example? It just doesn't make any sense.
It's got to boil down to politics, and the Mercola article deals with that to some degree in terms of the change in temperament of the FDA over the years. Explain that to us.
Well, when I was developing eye care products, for example, we... we had an immunotoxin that we were developing for a condition called secondary cataracts or after cataracts. And when I first started working with the FDA, since I was the product was in the biologics division, all of the reviewers were NIH scientists. And you can talk science to science. And, you know, we would agree on certain ways of testing the drug. And you know, that was fine from a scientific point of view. But then that got transferred to the FDA. Then instead of scientists, I'm talking the bureaucrats. And one of the things that they insisted was you had to show a patient benefit. Well, if you're developing a drug for secondary cataracts, the only patient benefit is, does the patient see? Mm. You know, after you've treated the patient, does the patient see better after your treatment than without your treatment? Well, that type of study, since secondary cataracts takes 2 to 3 years to develop after primary cataract surgery, you know, that meant a 2 to 3 year study, which was millions of dollars, you know, more than what I was proposing, you know, to do, which was a, hey, if the lens capsule stays clear, then obviously the person's going to see better. So anyway, that is the standard. Well, the standard now for the vaccines isn't a patient benefit. That isn't the gold standard. They didn't, you know, a patient in this case, it would have been survival rate. So do patients survive given the shot over the placebo group? And the Pfizer's own data, for example, if you look at the clinical trials that were submitted and the review of the clinical trials that were submitted, the vaccine did not prevent serious illness and it did not prevent death. So they couldn't have passed that test. But the FDA, when I started, for example, was all funded by the government. And then at some point in time, they changed that to have user fees. And so depending on what you were applying for, determined the level of user fees. And these fees, you know, were, at least at the time, as I remember, like hundreds of thousands.
Now, you're talking about the pharmaceutical companies paying for the research, correct?
Pharmaceutical companies paying for the review of their research.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So, surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, as pointed out in the McCullough, the review, for example, the number of drugs that got through the FDA's review process before this was implemented was like 30%. That has now increased, and I'm searching the article for the exact number, but that has now increased to something like 50 or 60%.
It's 61% in 2018, yeah.
61.
After the user fees went into place. It's, and, you know, are the pharmaceutical companies doing a better job of presenting data and not only presenting those drugs that actually pass the muster? I doubt it very seriously. Is the so what's the difference? The difference is that many of these reviewers, as pointed out in this article, later go on to work with the very same pharmaceutical companies that they reviewed and passed their drugs.
It says here too in that article that according to a 2017 Yale study, nearly one in three FDA approved drugs ends up having new safety issues detected in the years following approval, which means you can't trust them.
Right. It means that, you know, the agency that we put into place years and years ago to safeguard the safety of, I mean, and that's the primary purpose of the FDA is safety. And, of course, you know, you want to make sure that the drugs that you're passing approval on are also effective. But the primary concern is safety, and they have apparently thrown that yardstick out the window, that milestone out the window. And so now, what's the purpose of the FDA? I mean, you know, if they're not going to be unbiased, if they're not going to be paid off, if they're not going to, if they're going to be paid off and not keep the public safety in mind and do our bidding, what are we doing funding them at all? And what are we doing having an agency like this that is not doing the job that they were chartered to do?
Yeah, this I don't want to change the subject here, but I remember a couple of years ago we were talking about organic produce and produce with and glyphosate and the others, and you mentioned that when it came to the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, lawyers and officials, officers of the various chemical companies would go to work for the FDA and then EPA. And then alternately go back to work for their original chemical companies. I mean,
because ag chems need to be approved by the FDA as well. They mm-hmm. went and they worked. the lawyer, for example, for Monsanto went and worked with the FDA for a period of time and then came back. And that's when these approvals had gone through for glyphosate and, some of these other gene-modifying products, because Monsanto wanted to get... So not only did Monsanto, create glyphosate, which is Roundup, mm-hmm. But also did these gene modifications to corn, for example, to be Roundup resistant, as well as other vegetables that they were developing.
So the issue here is corruption.
The issue is corruption. Yes, it is. So we've got corruption at the FDA, we've got corruption at the CDC, and of course we know via Fauci and him in particular, we've got corruption at the NIH. So, and unless people have integrity, it's the old biblical adage, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and I fear that's what we're seeing in all of these agencies that are supposed to be protecting the health of the American people.
Corruption is at the root of it, and you'd think with the FDA making this meeting available on YouTube, that the lamestream media, the legacy media, would be shouting this from the rooftops.
But they're in cahoots as well. These groups are together. So the government, the mainstream media, the social media, and of course the big pharmas are all in this together to keep the public.
This is such a huge story. I can't believe they're laying off of this. What agenda could be more powerful than protecting the public that you ostensibly serve? There's
global
an article.
Warming.
Global warming.
Global warming.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, global warming is such a serious, serious issue that all the late-night comedians got together and said, we should do a special on global warming for late-night comedians. Now, everybody got together, and everybody had to, they had a meeting and said, yeah, I think Jimmy Fallon said, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Well, there's a link to each of these two articles we've been discussing today, so the one on Mercola.com. And also the other one, which is, and it's a website I'm not familiar with. These are the people that detailed the meeting of the FDA Advisory Committee, Gracious Living Lifestyle, GraceVanBurkham.com. But there's a link in the chat window to each of these at BrokenRoadRadio.com. And at least we can do what we can do to get the word out on this stuff, because you need to pay attention, people. Check these out. Just scan the articles and see what you think, and maybe share them. Don, we look forward to you always on Tuesday mornings. We'll look forward to next week, and thank you for the time, and wish you a terrific week. And stay away from that that booster shot, okay?
Oh,
haven't had the first two yet.
Right? Yes, exactly. That's
I haven't had the first two yet, so I'm not eligible for the booster shot.
We'll see.
You're eligible by age. You're just not eligible by the sequence of your events.
Yeah.
That you have had the...
I wonder if I can get them all at the same time.
Okay, you folks have a great week.
Bye-bye.
You too, Don.
So long.